Hey, everybody. Welcome in. Thanks for joining us. I'm James Adams. He's Skeeter Robinson. This is the Fantastics, My Fantasy Fix DFS Golf Podcast. And Skeeter, we are 1 week away from another major championship. But before we do that, it's the AT&T Byron Nelson. And of course, before we do that, as I continue to step backwards like a defensive back in coverage, let's take a look back at last week's tournament. I don't know about you. I enjoyed it. It was the Wells Fargo, TPC Potomac, Allendale Farm, or Avondale Farm, or Avarel Farm, or whatever the heck farm that was underwater. It was an odd tournament, to say the least, given the weather, the unique tournament place. But I don't know. I enjoyed it. I certainly would have liked to have seen better conditions, but I don't know. I had Keegan Bradley in the hunt, and so I had a sweat. I think that's why I enjoyed it.
Yeah, probably. It's Avnel Farm.
Okay, I knew I was.
I had 2 5-6s. They min cash, but never really got into it. I did bet Cam Young live on Saturday when, you know, he was done in the house like 1 or 2 under, and nobody was shooting under par. Like, all right, well, maybe if everything falls back a little bit, he could be live. And I think he actually got up to T2 yesterday, but. But, you know, nobody was catching Homa. So, all right. Well, apparently Wells Fargo is now becoming the Rory when it's at Quail Hollow and Max Homa wherever it's at, because this is the second time he's won the Wells Fargo.
Although, yeah, he won it at Quail. So a little delay there, a little technical difficulty, Skeeter. But I think what we were talking there is Max Homa. With the second win at the Wells Fargo, but two different locations. So we'll see about that next year when we get there. Is this just bet Max at Wells Fargo, no matter where it is? Or is it, somebody made a comment about it online, like as opposed to a course for horse, it was like a sponsor for, I don't know what it was, but it caught my eye. Cause I thought that is unique. This guy's winning the second time here, but at any rate, Max Homa, not really on my radar. I did have Cam Young in some lineups and I had Homa in a lineup, but I mean, I was heavily invested in Keegan on DraftKings as well as at the sports book. And I think I had 4 out of my 10 lineups cash. So it was okay. I could have done better. I didn't have a single 6 of 6. So they have 4 out of 10 cash. I got to be pretty happy, I suppose.
Yeah, 6 of 6, I think it was like 5 to 7%. So 5 of 6s were all good. And if you had a really solid 4 of 6, you probably got there. But no, I mean, I think this is why we keep betting playing Homa at majors. Because when you look at his wins, Quail Hollow, which is a pretty tough course, hosted PGA, hosting the President's Cup. He's won at Riviera. Now he's won at Avondale Farm at 8 under. And, you know, we've seen this played 3 times. 2 of the times it's been single digit under par winning at Avondale Farm. So I forget where his 4th win was.
It was in Napa Valley somewhere. Yes. It was in California.
He won to start the season, didn't he?
Yeah, it was a win this season, I think.
Okay, so yeah, that one might be a little off the radar, or at least the trend for him, but. I think we said, you know, we talked about this last week, like, he's just one of those guys that doesn't need a ton of form, and he'll pop out of nowhere and kind of win a good event, but then you play him 3 weeks later, and he'll probably finish 148th, so it's just the way he is, but hey, I think I'd rather have the, you know, 4 wins and, you know, a bunch of missed cuts than a bunch of T34s every week, so...
Absolutely. I would too, right? The victories are what people remember. I mean, would you rather be Max Homa or Cam Tringali?
Homa.
Isn't Tringali's the guy with the most money without winning?
That sounds right, yes. For some odd reason, I mix up Tringali and Troy Merritt.
Okay, I thought so. No, it's definitely Tringali, because I know it was a Cam. But at any rate, well, Skeeter, what do you say we get to the AT&T Byron Nelson, a tournament that's being played for just the second time at its current location. So break it down for me. We have a decent field. Before we get into the field, let's talk about this Byron Nelson AT&T, the course, and what we can expect.
Yeah, so this tournament's kind of moved around throughout the years. I'm going to look this up because I don't remember what it was called, where it was at before. It was at Trinity Forest for a few years, I think 2017 through 2019. It was at four seasons before, and then last year they moved it to the TPC Craig Ranch. Par 72, this was a birdie fest a year ago. K.H. Lee won at 25 under, beating Sam Burns by 3, Berger, Kazire, Charl, and Stallings by 4. 5 under was the cut. You had 60 golfers finish double digits under par, so this is just a... I mean, I'm assuming maybe they'll make it a slightly tougher, but with this field and the way this is playing, I don't see that. So we have 1 year of data to kind of look at, and it's just basically driving distance played a nice role. Accuracy really didn't matter. You could miss the fairway and still be okay. Hitting greens obviously are big. Birdies will be a huge factor. Four par fives all kind of in a 550, 575 range, so that's an area to look at. A lot of shots did come from 200-plus yards. There are 5 par 4s from 450 to 500, so I do like that proximity from 200-plus as well. But, I mean, unless this plays drastically different or winds kick up or something, I'd expect probably another minus 5, minus 6 cut somewhere in there. Like, this is not your week to play your bogey avoidance, guys. You need golfers who can make birdies and make a lot of them.
Skeeter, is there anything else we want to take a look at before we take a look at this this field that you, as you pointed out to me before we got started, a decent field given the fact that the location is not too far from where we'll be next week for the PGA Championship?
Yeah, I don't think there's anything else. I mean, I think Neiman might have been the one who, I think, did he withdraw last time he tried to play? Or no, he withdrew at Zurich, him or Mito Pereira.
I'm not 100% on that. I didn't get too dialed into the Zurich. So if there was a withdrawal, it wasn't a team that I was a part of.
No, it was Team Chile because they were very popular, and then somebody withdrew at the start of round two. I mean, they did play well in best ball, so they probably weren't making a cut anyway. But I think that'd be the only name to kind of injury-wise. Like, no Paul Casey, who burned people again last week with that late withdrawal.
You sent me that text and I was working. I didn't even fire back at you, but I saw that he withdrew and I thought, okay, at least this week I avoided it.
I figured you got a chuckle out of that one.
Oh,
that.
I did.
Like, oh, yeah, been there. Avoided it this time. Did a little Barry Horowitz pat on the back for that one.
He at least got out in time. Of all the withdrawals, he's maybe been busting DFS players a little bit, but yeah. He got out in time to let Duffner play in the other two places. He withdrew the Masters and the match play. He hurt himself in match play, so he gets a pass there. And the Masters, he was trying to give it a go, and there was going to be no alternate. So I got to say this about Paul Casey's withdrawals. At least he's not hurting other players in the field. Just DFS players, and we all know the risk we're taking.
That's right. By the way, just out of curiosity, I probably should have asked this after show. Are we picking this tournament for our league this week?
I will let you know after we get done. I'll open it up at some point. I thought so, but I'm not 100% sure about that.
Okay.
I won't swear to it.
I hope not, because I don't exactly have a ton of top golfers playing this week for that one, but that's a separate question.
I just don't have a lot of top golfers on my team in that league.
Hey, Matthew Wolf showed some life flex. We might be chatting about him later.
He did, and I was happy to see that. All right, let's get into the field before I get into the commercial with Matt Wolf's brother, all right?
Oh, cool.
Did you see it?
No.
And Ricky's dad and somebody else is like, and Austin Johnson's in there too. It was a commercial for a ball, and everybody's talking about the ball they play with their famous relative is in. I don't know. It was a silly commercial.
Oh, okay.
That's all I got for you, dog. Let's get into this field, because that was pointless other than I love Matthew Wolf, and now I got a peek at his geeky-looking brother.
Okay.
It's Scotty Scheffler at the top, Skeeter, as we get the 10K plus. It's Scotty at 10.9. Justin Thomas, 10.6. Dustin Johnson, 10.2. Jordan Spieth, 10.1. That's your crew, a couple of Texans in the 10K plus tier. Where are you going? Who's your favorite?
I'm avoiding Team Texas. It's Justin Thomas for me at 10.6. He loves himself a nice birdie fest. Like, he has historically played well at these things. Quietly having a pretty solid year. I mean, hasn't missed a cut. His worst finish is 35th at Heritage, which good approach. I mean, his approach numbers have been great. Off the tee's been good. It's the putter that's kind of led him astray. But even this year, his putter hasn't been awful, unless it wasn't the Masters of Mayakoba, which I don't have strokes gained data from. But he's already got five top tens in 2022. Had a 6-1 in a season at Mayakoba, the third. So he's playing well. Over 36 rounds, he's number one in my models. He's number one in approach and opportunities gained, second tee to green, birdies are better. Doesn't really do anything bad. At 10-6, I think it's a good, you know, it's a solid price on JT. It's a good, you know, he's in good form. Stats are all there. I think this is a go for him.
I'm with you. JT for me, he's the best player in this field still. I mean, I understand that you've got a Masters champion, really two Masters champions. Oh, by the way, three Masters champions besides him in this tier. As I keep counting down, I was thinking about the one on top, the reigning guy, but I'm going to go with Justin as well. I think he's the best player. And look, you look at what he's done recently, besides the one tournament finish, you managed the Heritage. The rest of them have been glorious. And the players, yeah, he didn't finish in that top 10 like he had been in just about everything else, but he was on the wrong side of that wave and had one of the best rounds in the terrible conditions. So his player's round, his player's finish really is way better than the numbers suggest. So I'm with you. JT's my number one, too.
Yeah, that's, for me, it's a unanimous one. After that, it gets a little intriguing.
Where I think, I think I'm kind of with you in avoiding Team Texas. So I would tell you that I'm probably going DJ as my number two.
Yep.
Saw some signs at the Masters. He's been up and down. I don't know if I actually get to him. It might just be JT, the only one I play in here. But DJ is going to be marked as my number two.
I mean, I'm a sucker for DJ. So if you're going to get me at 10-2, I'll jump right on board with that one. Probably a little bit better in a shorter term model. No, actually, he's still better in longer term models. Over 36 rounds, he's top 10 in birdies or better, par 4, some 450 to 500 putting. He's 11th in the par 5, 550 to 600 range. And again, the tee to green approach has been a little bit off for a DJ, but as he said, he's starting to kind of round into form, or there's all these signs of life coming. Missed at Heritage. I wouldn't have played him there because I think he got married the week after, so maybe he's a little distracted, but 12th of the Masters, 9th of the Players. Granted, the ninth of the Players was a Monday charge out of nowhere where I think he shot like 63.
Yeah, he started on the back nine, right?
Yes, he kind of backdoored that one. But yeah, the putter in recent events outside of that Players has been his issue. He's just not dominating off the tee or on approach. But there's enough signs that, you know, he's going to hit something here soon. I don't know if it's this week, but it's there. 10-2 for a world-class player is, I think, a pretty good price.
Which Texan you fading?
It's Spieth. I mean, I realize fading Spieth in Texas is a scary proposition, but still just not making enough birdies. The putter's actually kind of been a little bit wonky from long-term. Short-term, he actually rates out second best, like eight rounds or less, second best behind JT, as the argument, but I don't know. I think I just trust DJ and Thomas Moore and even Hideki below him. So for me, it's Spieth.
Jordan found it at Heritage, but frankly, I'm with you. I mean, it was not really normal Jordan because he wasn't putting like lights out. And I thought in a way, I was like, well, if we get this kind of Jordan, but you look at where he had been before, missed the cut at the Masters, a place he plays great. You know, wasn't good at Valero. I mean, he better be better than 35th, which is what he finished the last time they were in Texas at Valero. So that's not really getting it done for me either. And he was a defending champ there. So Spieth's my fade. I won't play Scheffler either though, if we're being honest. Like I said, JT may well be the only guy I play in this tier.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. I'm trying to pull up, you know, early Monday night popularity. And yeah, it's JT and Scheffler. DJ is actually the lowest projected used in this 10K tier, which, ooh, yes, please.
I agree with that. Give me JT with, or DJ with either of them, frankly, with low ownership, and I will take my chances that they can be world-class Hall of Famers like they tend to be from time to time and will be at some point.
But again, this is very early on a Monday night, and I would expect once you start people seeing, oh, you know, DJ is at 10%. Well, that's not going to last. People will be like, sure. Okay, well, let's take a chance. However, it kind of looks like it might be the 9K build that kind of people might be gravitating towards.
And I can understand that, and let's go ahead and get into it. It starts with the 9,900 is Hideki Matsuyama. Xander Schauffele is 97. Sam Burns, 95. Willie Z is 94. Joaquin Neiman, 93. Brooks Koepka, 92. Tommy Fleetwood, 9K. Skeeter, who's your favorite here?
I have two that I really like here. I think he's a Texan. I'll go Willie Z at 9,400. 36 rounds, third tee to green, second approach, ninth and birdies are better, number one for proximity for 200+. Everything rates out well. Not the best par four from 450 to 500 player. And the putter, of course, can be a little bit of a issue for Willie Z, but you know, coming off of sixth of the Masters, second of the Farmers, like it's surprising because he won. I think he got the automatic promotion, didn't he, from the Korn Ferry Tour for 3 wins, the Battlefield, or did he? Am I right on that?
I honestly don't know that. I just assumed he had PGA Tour status based on how well he played last year, even though he didn't have the win from like World Golf Ranking. But I honest to goodness don't know.
I mean, yeah, the majors, but I think. So, I mean, I would think he would do well in a pretty good event, but it seems like his best events have kind of been on tougher courses, so maybe that's the one thing against him, but he makes enough birdies. He's good on the par fives, good from 200+. It's just whether or not the putter shows up, and, you know, 9,400 is, I think, a fair price on him, and I think it's, you know, he has some good upside at that number.
And he was 16 under here last year. He's my number two, actually, in this field because I do think he can get nuts with some birdie fests. He was 16 under at T17 last year, so he played well here. I'm going to go to Sam Burns.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if we're going to just say he's a course horse guy and a guy. He's still young in his career. He's from the South, LSU, where he went to school. It's not exactly Texas, but it's not far either. But moreover, like, he was good at Valspar, and then he was good at Valspar again. Sam Burns finished second here last year. Sam Burns, oh, by the way, is the kind of player, like, he looks like the kind of guy that could find his way to the international team. Not the international team, duh. The international competition as a member of the United States in the President's Cup. Depends if certain guys like a Finau and Bryson aren't there. Because he's been playing really good right now, man. And I think Burns has got to be in contention here. There's some bigger names than him. But, I mean, Sam Burns is every bit the player that Xander Schauffele is right now.
Okay, let me look up. I'm going to effort this. The standings, the President's Cup. I would have actually thought he would be on it.
He probably is. He did not play in the Ryder Cup, correct?
Correct. He is third right now for the President's Cup for based on the point system.
Okay.
So he's probably
forget finding his way on that team. He may well have already been on there.
Yeah, it's
And they were talking a lot about Homa yesterday, being his basically working his way onto that same team.
Yeah, because he's sixth right now. So top eight, I don't know if – I forget, do they take 8, 9, or 10? I forget, they change every year. Scheffler, Cantlay, Burns, Morikawa, JT, Homa, Spieth, and Schauffele.
Yeah.
And I will send you $50 if you can tell me who number 9 and 10 are.
Okay, now I'm like, I really want to think about this, not because I even want the money as much as I'm like, okay, who's been really good lately? Stuart Sink's not on that team, is he?
No.
Okay, I'm getting a little bit too off the radar here. Oh, you're going to say it, and I'm going to be like, okay, that makes sense. They've been playing really well. Tom Hoagie's not on that team, is he?
That's one of them. He's number 10.
Boom! How about that? All right, now there's no way I'm going to get the other one. Oh, I pulled Hoagie out of my keister. There's no way. Now I'm just randomly grabbing at names like a Harry Higgs. It's not him. Hoagie won. Who hasn't won? Or who has won recently? I don't know. I pass, or I'll sit here and guess names all night.
Taylor Gooch.
Okay. All right. That's fair. I wasn't going to guess it, but...
I mean, they're ahead of, like, Zalatoris, Horschel, Kisner... DJ, Finau, Berger, Henley. I mean,
Kisner would have been the right guess for me, having had the win in recent times. Kisner would have been a guess. Obviously, would have been right, but Kisner would have been the guess I probably would have come up with if I had put the brain power in.
Cam Young is ahead of Brooks Koepka.
I'm not surprised at that. Cam Young's been playing good.
I like.
But you know what? Here come three majors. We'll see how much that changes.
Well, exactly. Exactly. That's going to change a lot. I like how they actually go pretty deep here. Like, Tigers 135. I'm trying to see if I can find... Jim Herman 112, so Herman's got a Tiger beat right now.
Man, he was looking like a decent bet at a dollar at 300 to 1 after round one, but then he imploded in round two.
Well, it was rare to find somebody who did implode last week. But,
that's a good point.
So, yeah, so that's interesting. So, yeah, Burns is probably basically on the team at this point. No, he's my number two as well. I was debating between him and Zalatoris, but Burns, top 10, tee to green approach, birdies are better in par 5 from 550 to 600. Doesn't really do anything wrong. Him and Zalatoris are going to carry the highest ownership in the 9K range, and Neiman's third.
Neiman's interesting to me. I think like Hideki is interesting to me too here this week. I may get involved with both of those guys. I don't know if I'll use the other guys or not, quite honestly. I could see myself going to 9,700 Xander too.
He just has been struggling. Like,
they just won the team event though, right? It was him and Patrick Cantlay, right?
Yeah. I mean, maybe that.
I don't know how much weight to put on that. I mean, I honestly don't.
Right. Yeah. I want to see it from him solo, I think, first.
But, very fair point.
Yeah. No, I have interest in Hideki too. Stat wise, he rates out great. He's top 10, tee to green approach, birdies are better, opportunities gained, proximity from 200 plus, and par 5 from 550 to 600. His issue, of course, is the putter. Not a surprise.
In our league, if we're playing him this week, who are you fading?
It's Tommy. I mean, outside the 10th at Heritage, I mean, he's been okay in the Masters, 14th, 16th, Valspar. Like, he's playing fine. I don't know. He's lacking the upside, I guess, of the Burns, the Zalatoris, Neiman, who I'd just rather play a little more. And I still think Brooks always has that upside. Of course, he can also crash and burn at any point, but. I'm not into Tommy this week.
You tell me to fade a player, and it probably is Brooks. But you know what? Brooks has the upside that Tommy may not be showing. Brooks has missed a lot of cuts, but when he makes the cut, at the Honda, he was 16th. At Valspar, he was 12th. But he's got missed cuts wrapped around that. He was 3rd at Waste Management, where he does play well, by the way. So I think I'm fading Brooks, but I'll be honest with you. I could use every one of these players in 9K throughout my 10 lineups.
And I think that's fair. I think it's an interesting build, especially if you're only going up to JT in the 10s.
Yeah, and especially in lineups where I don't use them. So I don't think there's a player that I'm just crazy hands off with in the 9Ks. We'll see after the builds come, but that's where my head's at now.
Okay.
Let's go 8K, and let's go at the top at 8,700. It's Adam Scott. The aforementioned Taylor Gooch, 86. Johnny Vegas, 84. Jason Kokrak, 83. Jason Day, 82. Aaron Wise, 81. Adam Hadwin, 8K. Cam Champ, 8K. Skeeter, you got a favorite in 8K?
I do, and unfortunately, not a surprise, he is projected to be the most popular in this range. Like, I looked at him first models, like, okay, I'm not paying this price for him. But then I'm looking across all the range models, like, oh my gosh, he's been playing well. I'm like, what has Vegas been doing recently? 27th at Valspar, 4th at Punta Cana, 18th at Valero, 15th at Wells Fargo. He gained 10 shots on approach last week. He lost nearly 6 off the tee. But I'm not sure off the tee matters a ton here. So, that's, could be a benefit to him. I mean, stat-wise, he's popping every stat model. He's 3rd in distance, 6th in birdies are better. Number 1 in that par 5, 550-600 range. He actually shares that with Kokrak. 15th approach, 16th tee to green. Like, he kind of hits the major metrics right, but 8,400 feels a little pricey for him, so I don't know if I'll get there. And there's one other player. I mean, I have two other names starred. I probably will avoid one of them, but Vegas is my favorite, but I can also kind of see myself eventually looking at this and say, you know what? Forget this tier.
Johnny Vegas had a really nice finish last year, too, here. He was, where'd he go? I just lost him. Oh, come on. It's easy to find him by the flag. Yeah, T9. 18 under. So Johnny Vegas with a good event here. And he kind of plays good in Texas, too, doesn't he?
Yeah, he went to a college in Austin, so he's familiar with the area. And his ninth place last year, he gained strokes all across the board. Like, it was very consistent. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't like he was dominating with the irons or with the putter. It was all parts of his game were on. So that's a good sign.
He is 40-1 at the book. We'll see if the number's any better on the app, but he is in consideration for me. I'm going to make him my number two simply because I'm not trying to peel off the same players you like, but I like Vegas this week too, and I'll bet him in one way, form, or another. I think I'm going to go Taylor Gooch. 14th at the Masters, 7th at API. Now, I mean, we're getting a ways back, of course, and he missed the cut at the Players, but Taylor Gooch have been playing really good golf. I don't know if I want to say, like, he's coming into his own. I don't want to say if he's, like, following in that Sam Burns mode, because maybe Burns is a better golfer. But Gooch seemingly, I don't know, he's been playing some good golf, and he comes from that storied Oklahoma State franchise where guys like Wolf and Ricky have come from. So with Gooch playing pretty good right now, I'm going to go with him as my favorite.
How dare you forget Victor Hovland? Also, Okie State.
My bad. I was sticking with the Americans, bro. My bad.
Oh, my bad. Sorry. no, Gooch, again, consistent numbers. Fifth opportunity is gained, 12th in approach, 18th tee to green. I mean, let me look at something here. So he's going to be a little bit lower than Vegas as far as the popularity goes. I mean, if that continues to be the case, I'll pay $200 for the better player in Gooch. I know Vegas has had a better short-term form, but over the long-term, I think Gooch is a better play. Gooch, 45-1 on my book, on DK Sportsbook, the app. Vegas, 55-1.
Beautiful. Well, I'll be getting involved in that.
And the third favorite for me is Zalatoris at 14-1.
I don't like to get that low on odds, but that'll be one I throw at my mother.
DJ 18, Burns at 22. Hideki at 35 might be the bet, by the way.
That's not a bad bet either. Yeah, I haven't looked totally into numbers as much as I have just kind of looking at pricing so far.
Right, same here. This is my first look.
Any other players that strike you here?
I mean, Adam Hadwin just keeps – your guy, isn't he? Hadwin's
correct, Amundo.
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
Play well. Top 10 in approach, tee to green, and proximity for 200+, which I would not have suspected from him. Good birdies are better in opportunities gain number, so that's a good combination. Lacks the distance a little bit, but you know, at 8K, that's, you know, he might be the only 8K guy to play. And what is he at the book?
By the way, I like Wise and Champ right there at the bottom, too.
I don't mind Wise. Hadwin's, yeah. Wise and Hadwin all part of this 55-1 tier that I'm showing.
I guess that leaves three guys that I haven't really pledged my interest in. Who are you fading? Is it somebody I already liked, or is it somebody else?
I'm going to assume it's somebody else. Jason Day, like, I know he showed life last week, but I think I want to see it again from him before I'm ready to jump on him. He gained 6.5 shots on approach, good around the green last week, but lost a stroke 1.2 putting. I just kind of want to see a little more consistency before I jump back on Day.
Jason Day wouldn't have made the cut if it wasn't for the order in which his rounds were played. Like, if his round 2 and 4 were his rounds 1 and 2, he makes the cut. His round 3, he shot a 79. He was 9 over par. I mean, Jason Day is absolutely off my radar. So I'm with you. I'm fading him. I think I'm fading Adam Scott, though, too. Like, I think the five guys I mentioned, because I don't know if I'm going to play Kokrak either. But I'll tell you, Scotty is my fade here. I mean, at 8,700, it's hard for me to say it's not like a great play. But outside the T4 at Genesis, he hasn't been good. He was okay at API. I missed at the Players, was 48th at the Masters. Those are two tournaments he's won. Yeah, I don't know which wave he was on, by the way, in the Players. So that could have been a part of it. But I want to see more from Scotty outside of the T4. It hasn't been so great here in the States lately.
If I told you he was, again, early Monday night, projected at 6%, would that change your mind? Because that might...
Yeah and no. I mean, obviously having a low-owned guy like that is appealing, but...
Like, if all the steam is going to go to Vegas, would I rather play Vegas at 19% or Scott at 6 for $300 more? I think at that point, this again might just be better player here than Adam Scott.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'd try to find a way to get into the 9Ks instead of using Scotty and play Hadwin.
That's also a good point.
Play Hadwin or Wise down at the bottom or Champ.
That's a good point.
Shall we take it to the 7Ks?
Yes.
We won't rip through them all. We got some names. This is where the fall off can start to be seen. Skeeter, is there a name that strikes you as a must play here in 7K?
Well, first of all, I actually kind of thought that the 8Ks were almost kind of a... You know, once you got into the 8s, it was almost kind of a bit of a drop-off from the 9s and 10s, but...
I would agree.
And I think that's part of my reason why I might just say, you know what, I might just completely avoid the 8s, because what is there difference-wise? Oh, boy. There's nobody I absolutely love, but there's a lot of guys that I'm intrigued by here. Let me choose a favorite. So I'm scrolling through trying to see if I can find somebody. You know what? He's priced fair enough. Sebastian Munoz at 7,600. Guy is top 10, birdies are better, opportunities gained, the par 4 range, 450-500, proximity from 200 plus, par 5 range, 550-600. Like, approach is fine. It's been his putter that's been bad. But the past two tournaments, gained 2 strokes putting at Mexico, gained 3.4 to players. He doesn't have a finish this year better than 21st, but not worse than 39th. He's missed one cut at the American Express, where he just had an awful week. But other than that, he's making cuts. He rates out well in the stats at 7,600. I'm not overly thrilled at the top 25, but if he's making birdies and he ends up being like a top 15, top 20 DraftKings scorer because of all the birdies, I'm okay with that. So I guess for me, it's Munoz at 76.
I mean, I'm going to steal your thunder because as a player I like, maybe you left him for me. By the way, I'll use Seabass too. I like Munoz. Always down with some Flex Seal on my golf lineups.
Is there somebody else who has Flex Seal? I thought I saw somebody else had sponsored
them. They might be. Yeah, they might be. Or it's not Phil. I guess I'm not getting Vegas and Munoz confused. It's Munoz, right?
Right, but I thought there was somebody else too besides Munoz.
I'm sure there is. We may well see him this week. Hey, I mean, Phil, dude, if you're gonna tell me, what's that?
Phil Swift is apparently sponsoring some PGA Tour players now.
Well, I mean, he may as well, right? He's on TV enough already.
I mean, I saw the boat in half. Maybe you saw one iron in half, and you know, use Flex Seal on the chicken stick. So,
I think it's a great plan, and then we can just make a boat out of a screen.
Oh yeah.
I'm gonna go cheap. I don't love some of these 7K guys. I gotta go to Matt Wolf. I'm gonna try and jump on here. Yeah. You told me that you want some distance. You told me that accuracy doesn't matter a whole lot. Matt Wolf just played some pretty good golf. I don't know if his head's in the right place, but if there's a place where you can make a lot of birdies, you give me a birdie fest, a guy who can make some eagles. I know he can make bogeys, but I'm gonna go Matt Wolf, dude. I'm kind of stealing your thunder. I thought that might be where you went. You didn't. I will.
I'm not ready to tout him as my favorite, but he's on. I don't have him starred yet, but he's on my intrigue list. Like, he's one I think I might need to dig into a little bit more.
I will be betting him too. I promise you this.
Ooh, what's his?
Unless I get out there tomorrow and the number's just no good anywhere, but I have a feeling it's gonna be good enough for me.
I'm looking for him right now. I haven't found him yet, so that's good news.
That is a good news.
Look at what guys like. Oh, 130-1.
That is so tasty.
That you know, might be worth a. I might. That's that might be worth a flyer.
You know I'm on that. You know I'm on that. Skeeter, what other 7K names are firing you up this week?
I mean, if I'm going to stick in the 130-1 range, Luke List. Granted, again, he can't make a putt to save his life, but top 10 tee to green approach, opportunities gained, good proximity, good birdie numbers. It's just a putter for good old Luke List that could be an issue. Besides Munoz at 7,600, I also don't mind Mito, good par 4 player. And Brian Harman, been kind of been playing well again. Distance, par 5's not his best suit, but everything else kind of fits there. Alonto's been another guy who's been playing really well. Good birdie, good opportunity numbers as far as the upper sixes. And I can go back to Keith Mitchell. He missed the cut last week. Was he one of my missed cuts? Or
He was.
Yeah.
We both bet him last week.
Yes, that's right.
And I'll go back to him, by the way.
Yeah, still good birdie numbers. Number two in par four, from 450 to 500. Good proximity numbers. So 7,500, I don't mind him. So those are my upper sevens. Anybody else you like in the upper sevens?
Yeah, I mean, Seamus Power, he missed the cut, I think, on the number at two over. Showed a little life and was good here last year. So he's also on my fantasy team in our league. So maybe I'm biased. Mav McNealy is going to pique some interest for me. He's been playing decent golf. Mm-hmm. Mark Leishman, I feel like he can move the ball out there. He missed the cut last week, but Leishman had shown a little bit of some form. I'm a Mark Leishman guy too. Siwoo Kim, there's another one up top that I'd be interested in.
By the way, the most popular player in this range is expected to be Maverick McNealy.
Huh, interesting. Okay, well.
And Keith Mitchell, second. So, I'm sorry. He's third. There's somebody else we haven't mentioned yet that's second.
What about Davis Riley, if we're going to stick to the top first?
I don't have a problem with it. Let's see. His approach numbers haven't been good. Neither his opportunity numbers, but everything else has kind of been good. What in the world has he been doing? Oh, okay, yes. You know what? I'm putting a star by him because what's throwing off all of his numbers, let's see if it's throwing off his ownership. Yes, it is. Was he had that horrible heritage where he lost 7.5 shots on approach.
Okay.
Lost off the tee, lost around the green. But if you throw out heritage, 5th at Mexico, 63rd at Valero, 2nd at Valspar. So, you know, throw out just an awful tournament. It happens. He's had, he's got two top fives. You know, again, if this is going to play Korn Ferry-esque, this kind of feels like he'd be okay here.
I can't say there's any more names in the top half. I guess if we get to the 7,500 range, that middle range, Bubba Watson can move the ball. KH Lee's the defending champ. Do those guys do anything for you?
No, I mean, KH Lee could because it has TPC in front of it, so that's usually good for him. But no, for me, the second most popular play so far is Kurt Kitayama at 74.
I had him written down, man. He's been good 2 weeks in a row now, and he was on the was he good at the team event too, or am I just daydreaming that?
No, that was Ryan Lipsky.
But I'm with you. Kitayama's a guy. I used him a little bit last week. He certainly didn't disappoint.
Yeah. It's a $7,300 range for me. Hoagie, List, and even CT Pan keeps kind of showing a little bit of recent form. I mean, I do wonder if this is maybe too long of a course for CT Pan, but he's been consistent at this price. I don't mind it. Aaron Ryan could go right back to good opportunities, good proximity from 200 plus. Distance might be a little issue, but when he hits it that one from 200 plus, I don't mind it. Pat Kizire played well here last year, and I think he has a little bit of history recently playing well in the South. So I think he's from Louisiana. Wait. Yeah, Kizire was third last year. So he's there, and then maybe it is an absolute recent form flyer. Well, not, he missed at Wells Fargo, but second at Mexico, third at Puerto Rico. Brandon Wu?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll use a guy that's look, in this field, maybe he's not looking at a second or a third, but a 15th, a 20th from Brandon Wu at 7K is beautiful.
Yeah, so those are the ones I like. Anybody else for you?
Not really. I mean, you mentioned Lipsky coming off of, you know, the good team event. He was T6 at Wells at Mexico. Missed at Wells Fargo, 7,100. I mean, I wrote him down. I could go there. I'm with you on Aaron Rye. Missed the cut, but had a really good Thursday and then just had a bad Friday like a lot of people did at Wells Fargo. So I could go back to him, too.
Yeah, I mean, there's some interesting names here, but I don't know. It almost feels like I kind of why I think I might just focus on my four up top, you know, the Zalatoris, the Burns, DJ, JT, kind of mix them around and just scattershot this 7K range. I don't know if I get to the sixers or not, but there's just a lot of, I like the depth here in the lower sevens that just kind of play around and hopefully, you know, I get the right combination.
I can get with it. Who you fading in 7K?
This this is not a coastal course, not a short course, therefore I don't have any interest in Brendan Todd.
I thought you might say Lee Westwood down at the bottom.
Well, his mind might be elsewhere, getting ready to go cash in the Saudi tour. But
He's going to be in the sand here soon, is he not?
Well, I don't know if there's actually any events in Saudi. I think that it's all Europe and even some here in the States.
Oh, okay. Honestly, I don't know enough about it. If I wanted to give you an honest-to-goodness fade, one guy that I do like to use is Ryan Palmer. I think he was okay here last year. He's a Texan. Ryan Palmer not playing very good right now. In fact, I tried to use the Texan narrative in Valero, and the T48 didn't quite get the job done. It's been since Farmers, where he does play well, by the way, that he's done well. So I think I'm fading Ryan Palmer, man. I like him, but I don't think I'm going to him this week.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Shall we go to the 6Ks?
Yep.
And as you said, you don't know if you're getting to the 6Ks or not. And I could tell you that's probably going to be the same case for me, although inevitably I will find some lineup where I decide to build from there. Is there a player that stands out to you as somebody you got to go get?
I only have two guys starting the 6s, and one's probably a flyer. But you know what? He 6,600. He's made three cuts in a row. Was 25th last week with Wells Fargo, and I used him. I have no problem going back to there. It was Austin Smotherman. Let's see. Third in proximity for 200+, 10th in opportunities gained, 16th in approach. Has some issues putting. Has some issues on these par fives from 550 to 600. Okay, well, that's interesting, but I won't, not cut him for that reason. But he's, down here, he at least shows enough positives and not enough negatives that 6,600. I mean, hey, if I use him, then maybe I can fit in a JT DJ lineup.
I just can't tell you that I'm going to play Charlie Hoffman as my favorite golfer. I thought he had a chance to make the cut last week. He's in the 6Ks. You know I'm going to go there. But I'm thinking about Danny Willett at the top, 6,900. Played well at the Masters. I know he's won that tournament before. He's comfortable there. But he's been playing okay elsewhere, too. I don't know if he's the longest hitter for this place, but he was 16th at the British Masters, hosted by Danny Willett. RBC Heritage, he was T51. So, and he was 36 at Punta Cana. He's made four cuts in a row at 6,900. I guess I'm interested in Danny Willett.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. It just doesn't feel like a Danny Willett course.
And I kind of agree with that, too, unfortunately.
Oh, some guys I have a habit of using are right around here. Molinari at 68, Chaz at 68, Stenson at 67, Swafford, of course, I'm indebted to him for a while after
where did Swafford win, bro? I'm not even sure.
It's the one it's the three-course rotation. Oh, why am I blanking on this?
Is it the AT&T? Because Farmers has the
American
stop
Express.
There you go. Thank you.
I was stuck in a letter A as well.
I don't know if I can claim credit for having one letter there, but
by the way, here you go. You can start a lineup with your guy Charlie at 66 and Silver Savs at 66.
I know. I saw him too, and I did not use him in our league last week, and I was a little disappointed because I had three guys, including two guys that were up top, Bradley and Danny McCarthy. But yeah, I was a little upset I didn't get myself involved with him, but he had just made his first game back, so I wasn't sure.
Kurdak at 63. Oh man, that's our old guy Matt Wallace at 63. The only other name that jumped out at me, and this is kind of a weird one. I think this is more of a short-term real short-term. 6,900 Steven Yeager. 15th at Mexico, 6th at Wells Fargo. Gained on approach nicely last week, and even at Mexico was good. His around the green he's been using a lot of strokes around the green, so that's a concern because I don't think you really need to rely on this course. But 6,900, somebody for a random recent form guy, I don't mind Yeager.
What about 6,400 Justin Lauer? Like, I'm not going to sit here and act like I have a whole lot of things to sell you on him. But the Korn Ferry Tour in March, he finished 21st. He was 35th at Puerto Rico. He did finish 64th at Honda, made the cut, was 15th at Punta Cana, missed the cut at Valero, not good, was 64th at Mexico, and was just 34th at Wells Fargo. He's finding himself inside the cut line an awful lot.
Okay. His irons have been hit or miss. Off the tee hasn't been great. Around the green's been awful, but that's probably not the worst thing here. Putter's been good in the past couple tournaments. Don't hate it. I don't think I'm going there, but I've seen worse plays at 6,400.
What about James Hahn? Was good last week, but it had not been very good before him. But he did look really good last week.
I think he's another one who's won Wells Fargo at Quail Hollow and Riviera. So, or played well there. Last week was all putting. He nearly gained eight strokes putting.
Okay. And he had not been good beforehand. I felt like I watched him all day yesterday, so I at least had to ask you.
No, if this was a tougher course, I wouldn't have a problem with it, but I don't know. It doesn't feel like what I want to play in one of these events.
Okay. I can't tell you I'm going on a lot of other guys. I see names like Grayson Sigg that I liked last week after a bunch of made cuts and he missed. I might go back to him again, but no players that I feel great about in the 6Ks. Like, I bet you I will next week.
Yeah, I would think next week we're going to have some sixes that will be very intriguing.
Yeah. Well, you got a fade for me, or is this an unfadeable 6K tier?
I don't show a registered round on Fantasy National in 5 years for former Open champion Justin Leonard.
I just saw his name.
Like, I wonder why he's playing. I like him on NBC, on Golf Channel coverage.
I think he's good. Oh, I think he's very good.
Yeah. So I don't know why he is deciding, or why this is the first time in 5 years. Maybe a special, I don't know if it's an anniversary of something, or why he's playing. I mean, hey, when you're a former Open champion, you can do whatever the heck you want. I'm not here to knock it. But yeah, I don't know why he's playing, but I don't think we're playing Justin Leonard at this point.
Well, if we're fading major champions, I'll fade 6K Jason Duffner.
Yeah, that's fair.
Well, Skeeter, should we talk a little bit about one and done and my movement last week?
Yeah, you're ahead of me now.
I am currently in 291st place. I have $3,078,253.
What's your amount again? Sorry.
$3,078,253.
Oh, I'm about 49,000 behind you.
Where I was looking, I'm not that crazy far from moving up significantly. When Keegan was in first, I was all the way up to like 1,200th place. So,
oh, I bet, yeah.
It's there's definitely plenty of room to move. I would say this: I am no longer feeling like I have to be silly with my picks or anything. Not that I had been too crazy with them lately. I feel like if I get just continue to push along here, maybe catch myself getting lucky at a major, I'm still in contention. So, Skeeter, I'm not going too far off the board. I'm not sure if I know where I'm going yet. Do you have an idea, if not who you're picking, but what caliber of player or maybe the layer at which you'll stop?
I'm right now, I don't think I'm going to use JT here. That would be tempting. I think for me, I'm Burns or Zalatoris.
Those two both available to me, both in piquing my interest. I have JT as well, won't use them. I have DJ, and I don't think I'm going to use them, but I might. I could consider Neiman, Gooch. I don't know if Vegas or Champ are guys that I'm just going to use this year. Same with Hadwin. If I were to use them, this would be the day, probably.
Who was that again? I'm sorry.
Like, if I were to go down to, like, Champ or Hadwin, I don't think I'm going that far.
No, I wouldn't either. This is a good enough field that I think you might want to use somebody semi-decent. And again, when we get to the end of the year, like, is Hadwin really one of the 30 golfers you're going to use? Unless it's, Rocket Mortgage or John Deere, where the field is not great.
Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right. So maybe Zalatoris, maybe Neiman is even a guy I would consider, although I know you warned about his withdrawal from the previous event, the team event. So I don't know. But Burns and Zalatoris were definitely the two guys that really stood out to me as names I was going to consider. So I don't know. Maybe we'll just both have to pick our guys, and we'll see where we're at come Thursday afternoon.
Yeah, but granted, I know they're popular right now, and they'll probably be popular all week, but Yeah, the Zalatoris Burns tier kind of feels like a good spot to try to hit.
I would agree. I've got Scheffler. I won't use him here. I don't know where I'm saving him, but I should probably think about using him while he's still red hot. We'll see if he is still red hot.
Yeah, because, I mean, he wasn't great at the team event with Ryan Palmer. So that's where he's at. I mean, he'll be in consideration for me next week at Southern Hills. Apparently, Southern Hills is a favorite course of his. So I don't know what that's going to do. That could just boost up his popularity.
That will affect ownership, I believe.
Yes. Especially that narrative gets out.
Yeah, really. Well, Skeeter, you got anything else for the AT&T Byron Nelson before we put it to bed and we put ourselves on the precipice of another major championship?
I don't think so. Again, I think I actually get to watch this on Sunday, so hopefully I have a live lineup or live bet that I can actually watch it for. Not if we play some round four showdown, but no, it's nice to kind of get a stronger field. Like, I know we had an okay one last week, but it's kind of been a while since Heritage, since we had felt like a good field. Like, last week was okay, but this week, this feels like a good field.
I'm with you. There's some decent names. I mean, all you do is need to look at the 8Ks and see, you know, major championship champion like Adam Scott, who's still a decent player. I know I faded him, but he's still a decent player sitting right there. So I'm with you. Well, Skeeter, good luck to you. Oh, I knew there was one other thing I wanted to say. Make sure the PGA Championship contest is out. So I've been doing my reserve lineup, get my crowns for the contest next week. So just a heads up, if you plan on playing those, don't be afraid. I'm going to play 10. I already said it. I'm going to play 10 lineups in all the majors this year. So I already plan on throwing away 250 on the Millie Makers. So I may as well get my crowns while I do it.
I don't know how many I'm going to play because I'm sitting here with 11 tickets, which I think I can use for all the majors this year. So I don't know which one, but that's a good point on the crowns. I hadn't thought of that one.
I think today was 300 crowns for a $12 plus entry. So I'm in there already, but just a heads up, and that's all I've got now. That was the final thing I wanted to get at you.
Yeah, no, that's a good. I don't think I had the same mission as you. Let's see. Mine was 150 crowns for $10 contest. So I don't know how they determine the algorithm on that, but you know what? I'll take the crowns I can get. So
that is interesting. I just assumed we all got the same ones. Well, oh, there you go. It shows you how little I know, brother.
Well, I had put zero thought into that either. So I guess we just learned something.
Well, Skeeter, good luck to you. Good luck to everyone. Appreciate you joining me this week. And let's talk about some winners and let's build a bankroll for a major championship week next
week. Sounds good to me.
For Skeeter Robinson, I'm James Adams. This has been the Fantastics My Fantasy Fix DFS Golf Podcast.